Hello?
You are?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm not getting my strength back very well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I met with Edward Dirksen a while ago, and he told me he was sitting next to you this morning. He just enjoyed it and told me we had a nice little meeting.
Well, as long as I'm sitting down, you know, and working on a desk, I have no trouble. But it's any unusual or quick action, and I feel a little bit.
Saw you on color television, though, and you just look wonderful, just like you coming back from the war.
Yeah. I tell you, Miss Brennan, I didn't want to bother you too much, but I just wanted to make sure there was no misunderstanding. I noticed that a senator the other day questioned why I didn't give you in detail any plan I had for winning the war in Vietnam. And I insisted that I have no plan, that that is the responsibility of the President of the United States and not mine, that whenever my counsel has been asked, I have always advocated getting enough to win because our purpose was noble and proper and so on. And I have said that if I were back in the position where I was a few years back, I would just play on the basis of winning, and winning as quick as I could. Now, the only thing I've ever said that has any, that they can make anything of, and it has to do only with domestic things, I've said, I think the winning of the war should be the number one priority problem.
And I agree with it, and I understand it, and you oughtn't to waste 1 minute of your valuable time with what you've got ahead of you to ever call me, because there's been nobody in this government that's been more valuable to me and been more comforting to me than you have, and I'm trying to win it just as fast as I can in every way that I know how, and I know that you won't help me. And if I figured there's one little thing you should do, I'd have good pastor over there in 5 minutes. I wouldn't pay any more attention to Mansfield's speech, and if it hadn't been made, because Mansfield and Fulbright and a good many of them frequently say these things, and it's all right for them to tell us how to run a war. And then when you say, well, I don't have the information, I don't want to take the president's duty, and I'm not an armchair general off the sideline, and I think it's a very proper position. I have told them in the meetings that at times I've asked your judgment and talked to you about various things, and every time I've found it to be wise and good, and when we could give you the facts and a given situation, ask you if you had any recommendations that you'd give them through channels, and General Good Pastor brings them back. So don't you pay one bit of attention to anything anybody says. If there was a patriot, you are it, and I'm awfully thankful the good Lord has spared you so you can help me, and I'm going to need all of it I can get. And what they talk about, they got mad at Nixon. Nixon got out and said we ought to increase the ground forces 25%, and then he said we'd get them in the land wall, we ought to get in more with bombers, and he changes each day to it. And Mansfield got irritated with him, and I don't get irritated anymore. I just kind of like you do.
What bothers me is this. You see, in the Korean War, these people are tired of saying, now you said so-and-so in the Korean War. I said, my friends, no two military situations are the same, and no two political situations. Here is a war that is the most nasty and unpredictable thing we've ever been in, and it's just as much political as military. Therefore, when I said in Korea, I didn't say I'd used atomic bombs. I said that I would no more be inhibited or limited by the gentleman's agreement that had been prevailing up to the time I got there. That if we had to bomb the Yalu bridges or going over to the bases in China where this stuff was coming from, I'd do it. And I'd use whatever weapons were necessary to win. Now, I sent that through three different avenues, and we got to, I said, unless this is going to be done unless the armistice is signed. Well, now, the conditions. At that time, we had a practical monopoly of all bombs, and there was no, the conditions are not the same. The war is different, and now they're trying to say, the way you want me to say, wouldn't I raise atomic bombs?
No.
I said, nobody could make such a decision except the President of the United States, and I'm not even going to attempt it.
That's right, in general.
I just want to point out that I never vary from my stand that this is your responsibility. If I have any ideas that what we should do or could do, I communicate them to you through channels. And whenever I have to say about that may sound critical, it's merely that I want to win the damn war before I could go to the moon or anything else.
General, you never, you said what I think. And, you told me this, you may have forgotten it, but the first visit you made to my office when I talked to you in Vietnam over in the old executive office building, you told me that you sent word through Dulles to Nehru that you were not going to be bound by any sanctuaries or any weapons, that you were going to do what was best for your country and you wanted to bring it to an end. And you didn't get specific or anything, you just said, let that word get around. And Bob Anderson told me that he heard the same thing, and I think it was a proper thing, and they're trying to get you to say that you won't drop an atomic bomb on somebody. And we know that you don't do anything that's not well thought out.
They wanted me to say that I want to tell you publicly how to run this war, and I just say I won't do it.
Well, I need all the help I can get, so you...
I say, the president knows I'm always available.
I know that.
And I'm just not going to be in the position of dividing the United States at a time when it needs unity.
I know that. You've always shown that, and I told Everett Dirksen this morning, he said he made a little statement this morning, said we got one blood out there and one flag and one uniform, and I said, well, I've been paid 1,000%. I said, Everett, do you remember when I used to have to stand up and Bill Nolan go in the back row and attack the president? I'd stand up and do it. He said, you sure did. I said, well, I've been paid 100% dividends for 3 years now.
Okay, well, I just wanted you, Mr. President, to know that all this damn stuff is just annoying to me.
Well, don't let it do it, because I know how you feel and what you think, and if I ever get annoyed by anything, you'll be the first one I talk to, and I never have been, but you've never done anything but help me, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
My love, Ms. Eisner.
Thank you.